Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
The thing that will burden you down will be the things that destroy unity. That's the thing that burdens your heart as an administrator. That's what burdened my heart as a pastor. If you could only see a unity.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about laboring together. This message was recorded at a chapel service in 2002. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, laborers together.
1 Corinthians chapter 3. Those of you who are going out into ministry, into pastoral work, will long for the simplicity of just doing the ministry, reaching the lost, counseling the brokenhearted. You will long for the opportunity to see God work in answer to prayer. But you are not always prepared for the adversities that come. And the problem is the adversities come in the most subtle ways. Sometimes the people in whom you've poured the most time are the ones who will cause you the greatest heartache and the greatest grief. That is not untrue of any ministry. Whether you're in pastoral work, whether you're in the work of youth ministry, whether you're in the work of church planting, whether you're in the work of mission field. Most missionaries do not leave the field during the first term or after they have finished the first term because they were afraid of the atmosphere or the bugs or snakes. It boils down to the fact that there are conflicts that arise in ministry. There are difficulties that arise in ministry. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says in verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, as unto carnal, even as unto babes." And I want you to note the context of what he calls carnality. "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together," sun ergoi, this word is, it's one word, "laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon." I've entitled this chapel session today, "Laborers Together." Probably one of the most crucial things you will ever deal with in your administrative work, if you are in any type of a position of leadership and position of influence in a ministry, one of the most difficult things you will have to deal with is the fact of divisions and strifes that come along. Paul said, "We are laborers together with God." Some say, "I am of Paul, I am of Apollos." Then Paul says, "Are you not carnal?" There are divisions, envying, strife. It's very difficult when we have to combat the sometimes what may be an undermining influence. Statements perhaps that could cause difficulty and cause things. And I want to lay some guidelines out for you. When we were in revival ministries, I told our director, I said, "You know, we need to go in with a passion and a burden and an understanding that these pastors are in the trenches fighting. Not all pastors are dunderheads. Not all pastors are hiding sin. Not all pastors are in a state of unrevival. I said, these men are out there plowing and praying, and they've stuck their head out into the battle. And I guess it's very difficult if someone who tries to communicate truth has never been in that pastoral trench. So let's go through this as a general guideline. I haven't been in ministry but 38 years, but I have seen over 38 years what seems to be a very big deal at one period of time. Over 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, think, you know what, God showed what was right in that matter. And young people and old married people, our heart is committed to train you to do Great Commission living. Our heart is committed to have you develop a heart of sensitivity to God. Our heart is committed to maintain a spirit of revival, which we define as simple obedience to the basic principles of God. Well, let's look first of all here what Paul says. We are laborers together. Then we're going to move from Corinthians passage into the Galatians passage, which I think really gets down to the core and the heart of what is happening and what is going on in this particular context. We have the function, and that is we have a union in Christ. That is, we are all in Christ as believers. And we have a function. We are laborers. That work that God has given to us to do. So every person has a reason for where he is. You could give testimony when you go into pastoral work and into youth ministries and so on. You will give a testimony for how you got where you are, and there will be a reason for where you are. You got saved, you got surrendered, you prayed specifically for a placement, God put you in that place, and you are there for a reason in God's placement. And in that placement is a role. Maybe your role is pastor. Maybe your role is educator, principal, fifth grade teacher, whatever that role may be. And that role has responsibility. And I'm going to do one chapel message just on this whole concept of responsibility, because a person who does not learn responsibility learns to live in irresponsibility, and consequently Luke chapter 9 gives seven negative spirits that come out of an irresponsible heart. But I'm not going to get into that at this point. That'll be a whole nother chapel message when I preach on the concept of responsibility. So you have responsibility. So you have a ministry. You will go and sign a contract to teach in a school. You will join in union with that group. You will be hired to labor with that group. You will have a role. You will have responsibilities. But that could also be true of a corporation. A corporation has a function. There is a union. People labor. If you've ever taken a tour through the automobile plants, like we used to go through the Ford plant in Michigan, and you would see people on the line, each one had a reason, each one had a role, and each one in that role had responsibilities along that line. And you would just be fascinated to see how a frame drops from here, a body drops from somewhere else, and everything goes together, and at the end of the line, the automobile is started and driven off the end of the line. Seemed like one every minute, I believe, was the at just at one plant, a new automobile every minute coming off the end of that line. But next to you in that line, you could be a Christian putting on wheels. Next to you could be an atheist putting on parts of doors. You have a common goal to labor. You're in that union. This part does not demand that there has to be a common heart. But it says we are laborers together. So we have to go in ministry from function to fellowship. And therefore, we go from union to unity. And there is a difference between union and unity. You could take a dog and a cat, tie their tails together, you have formed a union. Hang that cat over a clothesline tied to a dog. You have a union form, but you do not necessarily have unity. A husband and a wife come together in holy matrimony. The husband comes from behind. The wife comes down the aisle. The bride-to-be comes down the aisle. And at the altar, the pastor declares the man and wife, they have formed a legal union. But it may be years before unity is formed when true love, when it's discovered what is true love, because you don't fall into love. You can slip and fall on the ice. You don't slip and fall into love. You grow into love. And so the ministry, Paul says, we are laborers together with God. So union has to be backed up by unity. Now, here is the target of Satan. The unity of the believer is the target of Satan. When you pastor, when you head a mission board, when you work in a Christian school, the labor is going to be the least part if you are in any administrative role. There is no physical labor too hard for you. The thing that will burden you down will be the things that destroy unity. That's the thing that burdens your heart as an administrator. That's what burdened my heart as a pastor. That is what burdened my heart as an associate pastor for years. That's what burdened my heart in ministries all through these years down the road. If you could only see a unity in the midst of that function, and you fight to have that. But Satan also makes that a target. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 5. And I want to see a progression here that Paul uses. And I will only touch on a portion of this chapter, because here he is talking about Christian liberty in Galatians 5. And then he talks about make sure that there is love. And verse 15 says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. If ye bite and devour, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye are led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. So he's talking about the call to unity. You go back up into the early part of that chapter. You will see Paul's appeal, a call to liberty. But he said, don't use liberty as an occasion in your flesh, but by love serving one another. Law is fulfilled in one word, love thy neighbor as thyself. He says, so you have a war going on. You have the flesh contrary to the Spirit. He said, but if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are these. Now, these are the things that man produces. And I will give a listing of these things. Here we have the order to fellowship. Fellowship is an order. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, you remember, after 3,000 saved and baptized, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread and of prayers. It said of the early disciples, behold how they love one another as the outside world looked in. Behold how they love one another. The end of the commandment is love. Out of a pure heart, out of a good conscience, and out of unfeigned faith. We are ordered to fellowship. Then there are obstacles to fellowship. These obstacles to fellowship listed in Galatians are sins. What hinders our fellowship? And in Galatians 5, I have listed three types of sins. Number one list is rank sins. Those rank sins would include the word porno, that from which we get the word pornography, pornonia. It's fornication. That's any type of illicit sex, any type of an illicit sexual relationship. And then there is the word that is debauchery, licentiousness. That is a things that may be hidden there in the heart. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. These are the listings of the rank sins. And then the one that has beyond moral uncleanness, the word that is out and out debauchery, it is an open, arrogant mentality of riotous, sensual living. Those I would put in the category of rank sins. Most of what you face in your ministry will not be in that category of rank sins. When you pastor, you are going to run into rank sin. You will come together with your deacons and you will pray and you will address, if it's a matter of church discipline, you will come together with that. There will be a real oneness and a real unity. Maybe with rare exception, there will be a real unity in addressing rank sin, because that is not going to be the thing that is going to attack your ministry first and foremost. Although it has to be there and dealt with. And then there are religious sins. This is the second category I took out of this. Religious sins, and I put those two as idolatry and witchcraft. Idolatry, anything that is put ahead of God. You read the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That could be anything that displaces God. And then you have witchcraft. Idolatry is a sin of witchcraft. You have the rebellion idea here. An attitude that defies authority, and then a replacing of God in your heart. So those are the religious sins. And again, most of your problem in your ministry, when you face, you are not going to be facing the rank sin and the religious sin so much that is going to destroy your work. The thing that will destroy the work is the third one I found in this list, and that is the relationship sins. The relationship sins. I call these the high blood pressure sins. I call these the cholesterol sins. The things that are going on silently, the things that are going on secretly, within, and it's not seen externally, but suddenly there's a seizure. Suddenly something happened. You say, my, that was fast. No, it was a period of time of building up of some things that had gone undealt with in the hearts and in the lives of people. Now, what are these relationship sins? What sins would cause the difficulty? And by the way, those of you in any type of leadership, future administrative role in ministry, put a big star by this, because that is the thing that is going to cause you the greatest grief. That is what is going to cause you the sleepless nights. That is what is going to cause you to be unable to enjoy pizza with someone else on Sunday night. Because your heart will be so heavy with some things. And you pray and you cry and you grieve and you plan and you try to think, how can we solve this difficulty? Then we start seeing the enumeration of these things. What are they? Hatred. The word ekthra. It's a fixed enmity. Hatred is a fixed enmity. It's a matter that there's a mindset. And you will find this many times when you get in leadership position and you take, maybe you're called to pastor a church about 50 or 80 people. I just came from New York. Just this past Monday, I sat down with people at the table, pastors, dealing with this very thing. Some in tears. Hatred. It's a fixed enmity. And variance. This is the word eris. And at variance is the fruit of this discord. Because this hatred causes discord. There's kind of a disdain. And the This stain that causes discord underneath will show itself out in this aorist, this fruit of hatred that begins to come out. And there's an awesome pride that comes out. There is no room for a strut and an arrogance when you spend an intimate time in God's presence. And then emulations, the word zealous, and the idea of jealousy begins to come out of this. Jealousies. Two things never do in ministry. Don't compete and don't compare. Do not compete and do not compare. Because these jealousies, these emulations come oftentimes out of that competition mentality and out of a comparing mentality. God made each person different, and God put each person in different roles and in different circumstances, and you can't compare a size of a ministry, you can't compare looks, you cannot compare things, because things over which you have no control. Your appearance. Women oftentimes will compare appearance and say, why was I left like this? And so-and-so was left like that. Well, that so-and-so also thinks that he or she is inadequate. And jealousies. And then there's the word wrath, thumos. And this is centered in selfishness. A selfish mentality. And then strife. This goes down to selfish ambition. A personal, selfish ambition. This is where the word disloyalty begins to be manifested externally. You may be the target as a pastor. And there will be some with ambitions. And it would be good for you to study the examples of disloyalty. Look at Korah, the Old Testament. Think Shimei, excellent case study in bitterness that stemmed out of 22 years of disloyalty. And there are principles that are true, and one principle is you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Seditions. Seditions now comes into this word dichotomy. It's opposing views leading to strong disagreement. There's a formation of opposing views leading to strong disagreement. And they begin to champion opposing views. It's one thing to have an opposing view. And most of you will have an opposing view with somebody. And most of you will, if you're hired into a staff, you are going to have an opposing view in some areas with what that is, whatever may be prominent at that point. It's not a problem to have an opposing view until you begin to champion. Someone begins to champion that opposing view, I guess. And that's the idea of this word, seditions, because it is a diverse opinion forming an opposing view that causes a champion of that opposing view. And then we see the word heresies. And this is the word factions. Paul is now listing the things that kill fellowship. Factions begin to come in. And what this person does, let me illustrate how this works. How does this heresis, we get the word heresy. A heretic is not a person in doctrinal opposition. A heretic is a person who is here under a God-given authority. He forms an opposing view. He forms a sedition forms, and he comes out championing, becoming a champion of this opposing cause. He creates a cause, then he draws a new line, and then creates a following. Develop followers. That is the root idea of the word heretic, heresis, that is listed here as Pharisees. And you find people that begin to champion these opposing views, heresies, things that kill our order to fellowship, the obstacle to fellowship. And then there's the envying. And that is the idea of wanting what others have, and then murderers would be in this relationship, sin category as well. That's where you're going to find your greatest grief in your leadership role. You have to learn, if there is a disagreement about a certain thing, it is not your responsibility to champion a cause and undermine the authority under which you are serving. If you are the pastor and your philosophy is being undermined, and it's not in a matter of a one-on-one thing, it's a matter on a whole clique and a whole group being formed. You know what I like? Come into church like I did the last few Sundays. See our students sitting with kids they've touched and reached during the week. I think of those of you teenagers who are out in those trenches with kids who are hurting. Sure, they have the Mr. T starter kits on. Sure, their hair is all disheveled. And sure, they have pants dragging the ground. But you're in there, armor on them. You're not saying, I know God. How is your knowledge of God communicating to a real world?
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala with a message called Laborers Together. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.